It's GAK's Gear of the Year!
Hello and welcome to the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop Podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, my name's Jay. I'm the assistant manager here in the guitar store.
Hello, my name's Matt and I am the manager.
And I'm Joe, and I'm here for bass-related queries.
Welcome to day three of our Gear of the Year rundown, where we're kind of fighting over which bit of gear that's come out this year is the best one.
I've got to be honest,
it
doesn't really feel like a fight. What it feels like is the three of you, like, patronisingly listening to me and then going,
no.
Nah. that's what it feels like.
Not had anything put through yet?
I haven't either.
So let's do the rundown of what's gone through so far.
Are you right there, Mark?
Indeed, yes. It's been a long, hard process.
It's the masculine, isn't it?
Indeed. So Guitar of the Year 2014 is the Washburn Solar. 2013.
Who was that? That was mine.
That was yours.
Yeah. 2014's Gear of 2013 is the TC Electronic Ditto Looper.
Whose was that?
Yours.
Mine. Nice. Amp of the Year 2014, the Randall Satan.
That was yours.
Also
as well.
Mine.
Oh, I see a pattern.
And the biggest surprise of 2014, the Blackstar Fly 3.
Joe Branton.
Definitely the biggest surprise.
But he then admitted that he would have gone for the Laney.
Yeah, I would have.
I wanted the Blackstar.
But nonetheless, we're both tying 2-2.
2-2. It's 2-2 as we move into day three, where we're going to be covering 2014's best pedal. But first up, 2014's Listener's Choice Award. So this we've got a Facebook group that runs concurrently to this podcast, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. And we kind of put it out there, what is your favourite bit of gear this year? And indeed.
What just happened?
I was doing a tremolo.
Indeed. It's not a tremolo, that didn't win. It's the Electro-Harmonic Soul Food Transparent Overdrive.
Was it going to be anything else?
I mean, pretty much everyone on the forum has bought one of these in the last 12 months, so I kind of assumed this was what would win.
Has every one of us got one as well?
I've got one. Have you got one?
I did have one. Now I don't have one. I've recently thought, maybe I should buy one again.
I bought one and sold it.
For me, it's
I don't have one.
It's the best sounding drive pedal I've ever heard. I think it's just insanely good. For how much money are they? £59 or something?
I think I'm going to buy another one.
Just everyone should get one. And that's why the esteemed listeners to this podcast have chosen it for their Listener's Choice 2014. Mm-hmm. So, word on to Electro-Harmonic. Soul Food automatically goes through to the final, joining those fine other bits of kit. But there are other pedals we need to discuss for best pedal. Now, worth noting, the Soul Food probably would have been on this list if it had not already appeared in the other category.
So what we're saying is you've ruined it for yourselves.
Yes. Anyone rooting for us to pick the Soul Food, they've done the work for us. So we've got 8 other pedals we need to discuss. Matt Knight, what is your first pick?
My first pick is a relatively new one. It's only been around a couple of weeks, and it's from the company that seemed to produce pedals out of thin air constantly.
Every week.
Electro-Harmonix. I'm sure they probably made all these about 30 years ago, and I'm just like, that's all our work done for the next...
Yeah, just keep
four
it on the
decades,
back burner, that
we'll
one.
Just, you know. The Electro-Harmonix Pitchfork.
Okay.
Not just another product that uses pitch shifting that they've taken from another... They've actually gone... Hold on, so there's all these other pitch shifting products out here. You know, what can we do that's different? Well, let's put a blend control on it so you can mix in the amount of wet signal to dry.
Yep.
What everyone wants from every pitch shift effect ever is
genius.
The fact that you can... You don't have to have 100%... pitch shifted sound, because it sounds digital, it sounds a bit nasty.
Yeah.
So you can blend in dry to the affected signal. You can have up, down or dual, which is a great feature, so no matter what pitch you decide to shift to, you can have up or down. And then it goes everywhere from slight detune to 3 octaves. So you have three octaves down and up at the same time with dry signal.
Does the slight detune sort of set give you that chorusy type effect?
Yeah, and because you can blend in more of the dry signal, it just sits subtly in the background. But on top of that, not only can you plug an expression pedal in to use it like a whammy, the foot switch works like a momentary foot control, so where you can set the glide rate between original and pitch shifted sound to use it like an expression pedal without.
So it goes like that.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like that. Like, and you can have it in latch or non-latching mode. It's brilliant.
It's the noise. I know exactly what the noise is. It's the noise on Have I Got News For You, where they spin a picture and do it.
I kind of wanted it more like the noise in Catchphrase. There's a little twinkly high-pitched noise that goes up.
Or just a little penny whistle. A little...
That'd be amazing.
If you could do that.
Electro-harmonics penny whistle.
The pedal whistle.
For me, everything that you've ever wanted from a pitch shifter in a tiny little box that costs less than 100 quid.
Amazing. Joe Branton, what are you bringing to the table?
Phenomenal. I am also bringing an Electro-Harmonix product to the table as my first one. And I am bringing to the table the Electro-Harmonix B9 Organ Generator.
Isn't it called the Organ Machine?
Yes, it's called the Organ Machine. I'm changing it.
Okay. Brand new pedal.
The B9 JB.
Yeah.
B9JB.
The B9JB.
So, yeah. Tell us about the B9 Organ Machine.
Well, it is exactly what it sounds like. So, it comes with 9 presets of kind of different styled organs throughout the ages.
Yeah.
And, I mean, attention to detail, you know. I mean, you might think that sort of thing is kind of the effect that you would get off of something like a Micropog, but it's far from it, and they've really, really thought about it to make it very much exactly the sound of an organ. I mean, you can watch any demo on YouTube to realise just how good and authentic sounding the organ simulation is, to the extent they even put a click function, a key click, so you can roll that up to be able to hear the sound of the keys as you would on an old Hammond, which I think is... Who puts a rotary control on for that, for essentially a sound imperfection?
Yeah, you would think it would be like an on-off and it would be a bit cheesy, but the fact that you can like blend it in.
Well, like I think I mentioned on the live podcast we did recently, some of the best demos I've seen are people plugging old digital keyboards.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think the fact that it extends beyond use as a guitar effect pedal, I think, is remarkable. Yeah. And
100%.
Absolutely. The fact that it's finding a place being used with just like a cheap, basic digital
like Casio keyboard.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're making them sound like an old Hammond. I think that is really, really cool.
It's such a weird product. And they've done quite a few of these, like the Ego?
Super Ego.
And the Freeze.
Freeze. Like,
today, the C9 came into stock.
Oh, really? The new organ machine?
Yeah.
So even this brand new bit of kit that we're sort of raving about, that none of us have even really had time to get our hands on yet, they've just done another one.
Yeah, the C9, just, like, literally, the Electro-Harmonix order came in. I think it got scanned into our warehouse at, like 3:30 this afternoon. So, I mean, we haven't even had a chance to look at it ourselves.
So,
but it's brown.
Really? And the other one's blue. Purpley blue.
Mm.
Yeah. Incredible bit of kit. Definitely worthy of a place on this list.
Absolutely.
J-Cross, what you got?
The first thing I'm going for is the Jim Dunlop Echoplex.
Okay.
Which I think is... it's kind of one of those pedals that we really like because it's just a good switch.
Yeah.
It's one of those pedals that you if you think, see, I like this thing that I'm playing, but I feel like it could be gooder.
More.
There's not
gooder.
Enough good.
More gooder.
It needs to be more gooder. And then you look down and you notice, Echoplex wasn't on. And then you turn it on and you're like, that's what it was. That's all it's missing. It's the gooder. You need to turn the gooder up. And it just sounds great. So it's based on the preamp section of old like tape echo units, and it's those things were just like clean, raucous, warm, just like super lovely, like just You verge on hyperbole, like, you know, when you describe these, because they do just makes everything sound better.
Yeah,
it really does just make everything sound better, and it's difficult for me to sort of explain it any other way than it does. It is just a good control, just makes everything sound just a little bit gooder.
And it's the control that's on there is gain. And
it
it's
says
like,
gain, but it's
like clean gooder, or turn it round and it's dirty gooder.
Yeah.
But just. It's just better all round.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
gooder,
yeah.
It just
makes everything sound better, and they just. I mean,
I haven't got one.
You
on
didn't
my board
get one.
Yet.
I thought you're getting one, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to get one.
Even Mark Packham's buying one, and
because I need to be more gooder, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully, it will solve that problem of me being much badder.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
definitely. Okay, so I'm going to bring another. I'm going to bring a similar product to the table, released at the same time from MXR. Similar sort of vibe, really, literally a vibe. They put these out at the same time. They're kind of vintage reissue stuff. This is the MXR Univibe. I never thought I would buy a Univibe until I heard one of these and just went, oh yeah, Univibes sound really good. The problem is that there hasn't been one really, a good one out for a while. There's been a lot of kind of poor imitations of it. And MXR have just got
the M5 has got a pretty legit
Univibe on it. But it's not something that I would use because of all the other stuff on there, you know. And it just took hearing that to go, yeah, I do actually want a Univibe, and I ended up getting one for my pedal board. And it just sounds great. I kind of almost leave it on all the time, like really shallow vibe sound. And it just adds that extra kind of texture to your guitar sound that you wouldn't get off like a chorus, really. It's more kind of earthy than that.
Yeah.
And the reason it's on this list, really, is it's just the first time for me that I've heard a Univibe and gone, yeah, that actually does sound good, and it sounds fuller than any of the other cheap imitations, but the other imitations that have been available. It just sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really good little pedal, and is now sitting happily on my board and sitting happily on this list. Matt Knight, what are you bringing?
I'm probably bringing the most complex unit released this year and on this list, at least. The Boss GP10, the guitar processor, guitar modeler, ultimate guitar tool for someone who uses the GK pickup system.
This is basically you in a pedal. It's so
yeah,
much
I mean,
stuff.
Basically, imagine everything that you can't actually do from a guitar pedal that you've now really wanted to do in a guitar pedal that you now can do in a guitar pedal. So you've basically, it's a system that allows the GK3 pickup to be fitted to your guitar, but not give you all of, like, don't get me wrong, love the GR55, love the fact you can sound like a piano or a saxophone or a brass band
or
all three at the same time, but sometimes you just go, I want guitar alternate tunings. I want my Strat sound like a Les Paul or vice versa. I want to sound like an acoustic, and I need a couple of effects on the fly. Maybe I want to do some recording. All of that, great, because you can do alternate tunings. You know, you can tune into each individual string. But what wins it for me is re-guitaring. The fact that you can use it as a USB interface, record a dry guitar sound, record each string individually on its own track, and then apply an individual effect to each of those tracks, or completely, you can record a dry guitar and then go, actually, do you know what? This part really needs to sound like a Les Paul. And you can just, and it's just there, and you send it back, and it's just...
A quick thought on that. Can you, say for example, as it records each string individually, can you go, well, I want the A string of a Led to sound like a Les Paul, and the D string to sound like a Strat?
Do you know what? I think you probably can, but I've not delved that far into it, because I'm assuming that what you do is you just solo that particular track on recording and then send through the Les Paul tone, then solo the A string and then send through a different tone. So yeah, in theory, yeah, I suppose you... Yeah, I really love the Les Paul tone of that middle of the middle eight when I'm using the G string. Like, I love...
But well, see, I was thinking
really
about how...
It really needs to go to a dobro when...
The G string needs to be a dobro.
Well, see, I was thinking about how... You know how much I really love reverb. Yeah, reverb on the B string has always, like, just been a little
favorite
bit...
Favourite string that I could put it on.
No, it's always been my least favourite. I was really hoping we could just... cut out the reverb on that B and just like everything
do
else.
Do you know what I've really...
But the octave B on a 12 string.
That needs some reverb.
Beautiful.
But you know what I really hate? The D string in general. So I cut it out altogether.
I just muted that track.
Which you can do.
Yeah.
You can actually turn off individual strings. How amazing is that?
It's such a bonkers unit, and we've seen it being used by St. Vincent. I think she was using the GP10,
is that right? Yeah.
So oh, really cool. Yeah,
yeah. It's not just found its way into kind of like nerdy studio stuff. It's actually being used live, and I think that was the whole idea behind it.
Yeah, she did her whole oboe solo on it, on her new Music Man signature, Albert Lee.
Yeah.
When I was
she using an Albert Lee?
That's awesome. She's got her own Albert Lee now, yeah.
What, it's the... St. Vincent Albert Lee?
Sort of, so yeah. Albert it's basically Vincent a Rosewood... Well, it is because it has the Roland pickup built into
oh,
it.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Really
so,
cool.
So, yeah, it's just a Sunburst black pickup two humbucker Albert Lee with a completely Rosewood neck.
Oh, what, one piece solid Rosewood neck?
Yeah, that's right. And she had a black one and a Rosewood one.
Why
was
that not Gear of the Year? Why would that not win?
It's not an official bit of gear. No. But, oh, well. But you could order it from... So, yeah, but, I mean, you could order anything, I guess. We'd have a gold sparkle P-bass on here if I had my way. But, so, yeah, I mean, what's been really good about that is it's smaller form factor. It's kind of the smallest kind of guitar synth that they've done.
Yeah.
And like you say, they've got rid of all the stuff of, like, yeah, you can play a triangle or like a looped bass drum sample on your E string. That's not there. It's just real good stuff for guitarists.
Yeah.
Which is something that's, again, has been kind of overlooked
for
a while. Really.
And if you haven't got the GK pickup, you can still use all the effects in it.
Yeah. And has it got the processor from the GT100? Is that right?
I think it's got all the amp and effect models from the GT100 and then the same synth processor as the GR55.
A lot in that kind of small box.
Yeah.
Very nice indeed. Joe Branton, what are you suggesting?
Yes, well, the next pedal that I'm going to suggest, I genuinely think really is so brilliant that it should be the pedal of the year. It is the Boss RC1. Which is Boss kind of bringing to the table a new looper. If you thought that they didn't have it sewn up with the RC3, because I guess we saw a lot of competition from really the
Ditto,
Ditto,
for example,
looper.
Yeah.
And of course, and everyone else jumped on that really with the Jam Man solos and I think even Moore did one, didn't they?
Yeah,
I think even.
Hotone
did
the
one,
Wally
yeah.
Looper.
The Wally, is Wally, that
yeah,
what
yeah, that's right, yeah. Everyone jumped on this idea of a really simple looper that was very affordable, because of course it is a kind of new thing. You think when the RC3 came out, that was an affordable looper.
Yeah.
At how much is an RC3?
They ended up at
165.
And that was like, that was what we were saying, yeah, this is how you get a looper affordably, is the RC3. So the fact that they've managed to bring the RC1 to the table in a full proper Boss stomp box for £79.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Which is less money than a Ditto, which is coming
is
in.
It, is it, are they about the same money, aren't
I think
they?
They're going to be about the same money, yeah.
Oh, they are going to be about the same.
I think
because
so.
When Dittos came out, they were a touch more than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and a few things that I think really set it apart. So exactly the same sort of concept. So we're talking about a really simple, write, overwrite, hold down to delete looper. Exactly the same kind of format as the Dippo. The Ditto. But,
the Dippo.
The Dippo. I'm changing it again.
Yeah. It's got dip switches instead of the volume knob.
Exactly.
It's the Dippo.
But what I really like about the RC1 is the 24-segment... LED display which essentially goes, the LEDs light up in a circle going round in the speed that your loop that you've previously recorded on there is going from start to completion, so you can see by looking at the pedal how far you are through the loop, which I think for if you ever wanted to use this live, I think for getting stuff bang on, it's not as easy as when you're kind of sitting in your bedroom and it's all you can hear, so you can really focus in on it. If you wanted to use this live, as a lot of people are for that kind of sort of acoustic style layering up of parts, this just makes it, it's just really well thought through. I think they've taken what is essentially a really simple basic idea of a looper and gone, well, how can we keep this simple but make it even more intelligent?
Yeah.
And they've nailed it. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Jay Cross, what you got for us? Go on.
Well, the problem is I was like, you know what? Ditto X2, mate. But sort of after sitting there listening to Joe, I'm kind of into the RC1. So well, it's difficult because, like, so I had the Ditto X2 written down as my, you know, my other choice for my other favourite pedal of the year. And I really like it. You know, it's sort of, it took everything that we loved about the Ditto from last year, which was, it was small, it was simple, it was, you know, easy to use, hard wearing, and they made it a little bit better. You know, they made it a little bit bigger, they gave it a little bit more recording time, they gave you a few extra options, so you've got the reverse, and you've got I think you've got half speed on there as well. Yeah. So you've got half speed on there as well. And, you know, it's got two controls now instead of just a single control. So it makes it a little bit more gig friendly. And I still think having the two controls makes a hell of a difference when you're gigging with it. You know, I think that is what takes it out of the realms of a bedroom looper, quote unquote, yeah. Which I think is still what an RC1 and what the original Ditto are.
Absolutely.
And it makes it like a giggable, like, proper functioning pedal. Whereas, you know, you could put forward an argument that said that the original Ditto and the RC1 are kind of novelty is not quite the right word, but it's like you also, it's an also ran, you know, to a certain degree. I mean, I realised that the Ditto came very high up in our Gear of the Year last year, and it is great, but for like a gigging, you know, recording guitarist musician, I think you need the two controls, and I think that's what sort of separates it out a little bit.
I think me and Matt were talking about this, and just the fact that it almost becomes a slightly easier to use DL4,
yeah,
because of those features make it. I mean, for the money, just makes
it. It's almost like a best of pedal. It's that it's taken all the great stuff from the Ditto and the smaller Boss things, and it's added features from some of the, you know, OG loopers like the DL4.
Yeah.
You know, the half speed and the kind of more effect stuff as well. So
I like the fact that you've got the store switch on there. You just flick it up, so whatever you've just recorded, you go, yeah, I like that,
I'll keep that.
And then you just hit the up button and it'll store it in there forever.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. You know, especially for pre-recording stuff for a gig, if you do ambient stuff, just quickly do something really quick, store it in there. You can loop whatever you want over the top, but then you can just hit the store button and play it back at any time.
So, I don't really know what to say about my second choice. I'm going for the Strymon Deco. The reason I don't know what to say about it is because I think it is so much better than everything else that we've picked on this list. It is... I mean, it's just... Imagine, right, okay, so every other pedal is just like a normal coat. It's like a normal jacket.
Every other pedal doesn't cost this sort of money, though.
That's true. The Strymon Deco is like the best jacket in the world. You put it on and it's just better than everything else. It, honestly, this pedal has changed how I feel about pedals. And unfortunately, like you say, it is a lot of money and I haven't got around to buying one yet because it is that much more money. But... it's kind of the only thing left on my list now. I want to get an Echoplex preamp and I want to get one of these. I mean, do you like the sound of tape over like a digital recording? Pretty much every player is going to go, yeah, I do like that. This is what the Strymon Deco does. It gives you a great recorded tape sound for your guitar. And what else, you know, do you want to sound like an old 50s rock and roll record? Yeah, I do. Do you want to sound like a sludgy 70s record? Yeah, I do. Do you want to sound like a wicked rock record from any of those periods? The Strymon Deco can do that using the combination of all the effects that are in there. It's just brilliant.
It's kind of like, the way I see it is, it's kind of like, do you remember when the Electro-Harmonix analogizer came out and we were all like, yeah, is this, I don't know really, this is a weird idea, I'm quite into it.
Yeah.
And then the Deco came out and it was like, ah, now
that's
I get
what it.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Imagine a really rubbish pair of slippers and a really nice pair of slippers. Imagine putting your feet in there, in the nice pair, once you've tried on the rubbish ones. That's what the Deco is. And that's why it is on the list for best pedal of 2014.
Yeah.
But it hasn't necessarily won the category, despite what I would think. Matt Knight, which of your two pedals are you putting forward for final consideration for the category?
I'm going to put forward the GP10 for the sheer versatility of it. There's just so much in it. It's got to be my pick.
Joe Branton, which of your two are you putting forward?
I'm going to put forward the B9.
The Electro-Harmonix B9?
Yes.
Jay Cross, which one are you putting forward?
Just to be difficult, I kind of want to put forward the Ditto so that there's the chance that the Ditto and the Ditto X2 will end up in a looping fight to the death.
It's kind of like Serena and Venus Williams. We don't want that. You know, no. One of the Williamses is going to win.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. One of the Williamses will always win.
No, but in all seriousness, no. It's got to be the Echoplex. The Echoplex is just
the more gooderer.
The more gooderer.
It's the more gooderer button.
Can you reamp my mic feed through an Echoplex?
No, nothing will make that more gooderer. Unfortunately. Unless we could just turn it off.
Oh, do you think Jay would be really concise and well-spoken?
No, nothing can... only my editing prowess can make that happen. So I don't know, really. Univibe or the Deco? Okay, right. Despite all I've said about the Deco...
You can't believe this.
Despite all I've said about the Deco...
No, you can't make this decision.
Despite all I've said... Oh, okay, well, all right, here's my analogy. I don't drive, but... Ferraris probably are wicked.
This is worse than the
coat. Yeah, Ferraris are probably wicked. I can't afford one, and most people can't afford one. What most people can afford is something that is reliable and sort of it
such
works.
As
it works.
Continue the analogy.
I don't know.
Such as
what's it afford? Ford Fiesta? Is that a car? I don't know. So for that reason, I'm going for the Univibe because I think it will definitely have been overlooked this year because. People think they don't want a Univibe, and what they actually mean to say is, yes, I do want a Univibe, because it just go in any rig, and it works, and it's not mega money. They're like, what, are they under 100 quid? They're around 100
quid, I think,
something like that. The Deco is brilliant, and like I said, it is just better than everything, but it's also a lot more money. So I'm going for the Univibe. So, what are we saying? GP10, Electro-Harmonix B9, Echoplex, and the Univibe. Matt Knight.
Well, to be honest, my choice would have been the Deco, but to be honest, if it wasn't
the
B9
in the final,
the Echoplex is by far the best pedal out of those four. Just it is just one of those units. Still to this day, that demo that me and Mark did downstairs with that guitar into that hot rod with the it was the PV Classic 50, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Through that Echoplex, it just was one of the best guitar sounds.
What are you
for that.
Doing? Mine is an organ machine. What part of that didn't you hear? And you've chosen a preamp.
Unfortunately, you can't pick your own pick. What are you going to pick?
Unbelievable. Well, not the Echoplex. Just out of spite. What are my other choices?
The Roland GP10, the Electro-Harmonix B9, which you can't choose, or the Univibe.
Oh, great. I actually have to pick the Echoplex because it genuinely is the best one.
That's another vote for the Echoplex. Jay Cross.
I want to pick the Deco.
We can't pick the Deco.
We all wanted to pick the Deco. You've ruined it.
I think all three of us are now just like...
Can we override Mark Packham's decision and say all of us think the Deco?
I think it's three against one. Okay. Yeah,
so all of us, would all of us pick the Deco if it was there?
I'd have picked the Deco.
What would you have picked? I would have picked the Deco. So I think the Deco is actually...
Despite not appearing on the final list, the winner of 2014's Pedal of the Year goes to Strymon Deco, joining the Washburn Solar, the TC Electronics Ditto Looper, the Electro-Harmonix Soul Food, the Randall Satan, the Blackstar Fly 3 on our list for the final list at the end of the week. Tomorrow we have got Best Bass Product.
Bass.
It's just a solo.
which P bass are we going for?
I don't think there are any P basses on the list. So
I don't
we'll
think any P basses have come out this year.
Wow. We'll have to see. So tomorrow's Best Bass Product and 2014's Weirdest Gear. Do stick around. And then the day after that, at the end of the week, we are going to be doing the final rundown and picking our 2014's Best Gear of the Year.
The final.
Indeed. Join us tomorrow. We will see you then.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Farewell. Bye.